Okay, everybody. Shiur number three in our series on the halachos of Tisha B'Av. We're going to talk about the distinctions and relevant halachos during the three stages of Tisha B'Av, the night, the morning, and the afternoon. So let's begin with the nighttime of Tisha B'Av. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tav Kuf Nun Tes Sif Aleph, the Rama says, "Umispalo leMenachas v'derech bechi ka'avelim." Right away at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, from the very first, words of davening of Mariv that we utter. So we consider ourselves like Avelin, and we start to daven in a more crying type of manner. As we've said in the past, the day of Tisha B'Av is a yom of Bechi, and we express that in the way that we daven. V'cheinos in Bekriyas Eicha, those who read Eicha as well, they should dafka do so in a manner of Bechi. It's not just some like artificial thing. That's actually the way that it's supposed to be read. Uvechol Eicha magbia kolo yoser. Whenever you get up to that word Eicha at the beginning of the perek, so the Baal Koreh is to raise his voice a little bit more. Now, during Eicha, so the Shulchan Aruch in source number two writes, "In madlikin neros balayla ki im ner echad lomar la'oro kinos ve'eicha." You have only one light in Shul in order to say kinos and Eicha. The reason for that is based on a pasuk in Eicha. Mishneh Berurah says in source number three, "Mishum dechsev b'machashakim ho shivani ki meisei olam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us in our Yirmiyahu Anavi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed him in the darkness, and therefore we reenact that darkness in Shul, and we only have one light on in Shul. Mishneh Berurah adds in Sif Tezvav in source number three, "Kim ner echad ulefi min hagenu." Shekol hakahal omim eicha belachash imachazon vegam kinos yesh lahadik ner echad b'chol shchuna shayidei atchak yuchlu lomar kinos la'ora. So going back to when they only used lanterns or lamps, they had to have at least one lamp lit in every town so that they would be able to so that everybody would be able to read along with eicha. But what comes out from here is the Mishneh Berurah is recording the practice that not only should the Baal Koreh be the one saying the words of eicha, but together with the Baal Koreh, in a hushed tone, the rest of the congregation says Eicha as well. So that leads us to our next point, which is what exactly is the nature, what's the role of the recitation of Eicha on the night of Tisha B'Av? So on the one hand, we would say that Eicha was instituted as the Kriya for Tisha B'Av, just like we have Esther and Purim. So too Chazal instituted Eicha as the Kriya for Tisha B'Av, and that's certainly the case. But if that were only the case, so then we might wonder, why would it be that everybody would have to read along? Like, when it comes to Esther, you don't have to read along. Okay, some read along to make sure you don't miss a word, right? But really, the formal obligation is for one person to read it, and for everybody to be Yotzei through that one person. Why don't we do the same thing with Eicha? So we have some evidence that in addition to it being the formal reading of the day, Eicha is also meant to be a form of Avelus. It's supposed to get one into the experience, into the emotional stance of Avelus. And that's why the Mishneh Berurah in source number four writes, "Va'omer Eicha v'kinos va'afilu kishuhu biyachid." Even if you're not in shul, where you don't have the formal kriya, you're still supposed to recite Eicha. And then there's an interesting discussion about, are women obligated to say Eicha if they're at home by themselves? So the Rav Shtermach writes in source number five, "Lefiza lemaisa roi lachol ishaim ina yecholo lelechas lebeis haknesses b'la Tisha B'Av." If a woman's not able to come to shul, sheteishei v'ala aretz v'tomar eicha b'veisa kekina. She should sit on the ground and say eicha like a kina. Because as we said, in addition to it being the formal reading of Tisha B'Av, we also treat it as a kina in and of itself. And the whole idea is to start saying the kinos as a form of avelos. Umekayemes b'zeh mitzvahs avelos b'tisha b'av. By saying eicha, so she fulfills the mitzvah of avelos. And we're all obligated to the mitzvah of avelos, regardless of whether we're able to come to shul. The Rav Shtermbach adds to that a very interesting line. It says, "V'makom acher bi'arti, shemitzvahs kris eicha al ha'aretz davka ke'avel." That we have the practice, we sit on the ground when we say eicha in shul, yeah? Meaning, you don't sit, obviously we're not going to sit on chairs. We're going to discuss that. But not only do we not sit on chairs, what Rav Shtermbach is saying, you also don't send up the Baal Koreh to the Bima to read Eicha as he would other Megillos, but rather even the Baal Koreh sits on the ground together with the rest of the people. Why? Because again, that's an expression of this second element of the reading, which is that it's supposed to be an expression of Avelus. And he goes so far as to say, Umi sheshomea okore mu'umad lo yatsa. Wow. Shlomach says that if one reads aloud things, not yotze. Now, I have to say, in YU, this was not the practice. I did Eicha a couple times in YU from a cloth, and the practice was that I stood at the bima. So, skatayani mazgir, according to Shlomach. But he's very stark about the idea that one should be sitting on the ground as a form of avelos. He does note that in Masachas Sofrim, at the very end, in the bold, he notes that in Masachas Sofrim, the clear implication is that one would be yotze if he were standing. But again, just I'm quoting this as a way of emphasizing this dual aspect, Te'icha, on the one hand, it being the Kriya of the day, and on the other hand, it being a Kina and a form of Avelis. You comment before?
Not everybody can, like, physically get on the floor. They're able to.
Yeah, right. So certainly, I think he would agree that if a person wasn't able to sit on the floor, then, you know, or even on a low chair, that that standing would be fine. Yeah, fine. Great. Okay. So let's jump to the Levush in source number 7. Chaim is mechavin to the Levush, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa, who says, "V'chol yomait mihesi, kevan shenoagim lekros eicha betzibur ulevarich alav al mikra megillah, madua lo nohagu beicha kimo megillah lichtov osa al klaf esefer bifnei atzmo." So the Levush asks a similar question. He says, all my days I've wondered why it is that if we read Eicha in Betzibor, and we do make a bracha, he's assuming that you would make a bracha, so why is it that we don't write it on a cloth the way that we write Megillas Esther? So the Levush is I guess, the Metzius in the Levush's community was something very interesting. They read it just like from, you know, a standard printed, you know, page, like Haftorah, but they made the bracha of Amikra Megillah, like Haftorah, right? So that's not our practice. But the Levush at least wondered why it is that they didn't have it on the cloth. He says something unbelievable. He says, "Ve'adar efsher." Second to last line. He says, "Ve'efsher shenoagu kain mipnei shelo haya matzoi mipnei shoyam lo haya matzoi lohem mipnei shahasofrim lo nohagu lekosvam." Maybe nobody was writing Eicha on a cloth. Why? Mishum shanu mechakim umitzapim bechol yom shiyafoch lanu yom zel asasonu lesimcho lemoid. Says, had Sofrim written it down, it would seem as if we're having Yush, that the Gula's not going to come. It reminds me of famous story with Shechter. People probably know about it. But they asked Rav Shechter about Hilchos Tishabov. He says, I don't know. I don't know the answer because I never learned Hilchos Tishabov because I always believe that the Mashiach's going to come. And then when Tishabov comes, it's too late. So it reminds me of that that Maisa. It happens to be Rav Shechter, but you know, Rav Shechter thinks a lot of times the Levush is a big ba'am chadish, and it goes going too far. So I'm not sure if he would like to be compared to this chadish, but at the same time, it's of the same ilk. Now, Chaim's question as to whether we should make a bracha really goes back to a more general question as to whether we make a bracha on other megillas besides for Esther. That is a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. The Magen Avraham believes that we should say al mikra megillah on other megillas. The Taz says not to make an Al-Mikra Megillah even when it's on a cloth. Even if it's on a cloth. So that's the practice in YU. They say the Megillah, all the Megillahs from a cloth, as they do Haftorahs. They're all Megillahs from a cloth, but they don't make an Al-Mikra Megillah on any of them, except for on Esther. That's, I believe, the more widespread practice, because the Mishnah Berurah says that if there's a Safek Brachos, if a place doesn't have an established practice already, so then Safek Brachos Lahakal passing like the Taz won't say a bracha. There are some places, Shul I grew up in, that do say an Amikra Megillah when they have a Megillah on a cloth. I think it's very rare to find someone who would say Amikra Megillah on when it's not on the cloth, which is basically what the Levush is saying, and that's more like the Magen Avraham. So that's really the specific answer to your question, but I think your question conceptually was really more like what the Levush was saying. Okay. Now, the last thing to know about Eicha is something interesting in source number 9 that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting from the Shalah. V'tov sheyachid yikra Eicha gam b'yom. Has anyone ever been in a shul where they say Eicha during the morning also? Yeah? Is Sfardim do that? Okay. Very good. Okay, we have two. We have two today. Yeah. Okay, we have to say Atov Hamiti. Okay. So although, you know, many shuls don't actually say Eicha all together, The Mishnah Berurah does quote from the Shalah that there is a practice to at least as an individual recite Eicha during the day. And this seems really to be rooted in the Tur, in source number 8, who quotes from Maseches Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim is one of those, Masechtos Ketanos, a compilation of Brisos, that guides us in terms of like different kriyos, different leanings during the year. And in Maseches Sofrim, it's clear that there were two different practices as to when to actually recite Eicha. That which we think, we take for granted that we do Eicha at night. Anyone ever think of the fact that it's a little bit strange because you never have a kriya at night, besides for Esther. But, certainly for Esther, the main kriya is during the morning. Simchas Torah, we do Vizos HaBracha at night, but that's more of a minhag, right? So the idea that we do Eicha at night is a little bit strange. That may also, by the way, just dovetail with what I was saying before, that Eicha is supposed to be a very experiential reading. It's supposed to be a kina, and that's why we do it right at the beginning of the day. So in source number 8, the Torah quotes from Maseches Sofrim, Kosav Yeshkorin Sefer Kinos Bo'erev, V'yeshem Achrin Araboker La'achar Kriya Sefer Torah. Shachar Kriya Sefer Torah, Omeidu Mispalish Be'ithor V'gadam Mifuloshin V'kori Be'vichia V'yalala. So Tur quotes from Maseches Sofrim, two different practices, whether to do it at night or during the day. The clear minhag has become to do it at night, but in order to fulfill that other day, a Maseches Sofrim, the Shalah and the Mishnah Berurah later on say, Tov, it's a good practice to read Eicha during the day. So it doesn't dafka have to be in shul anytime during the day. To read Eicha is a good practice. Okay, so Ad Kan for Eicha and the beginning of the night. Now, one of the questions that I was asked in advance of this series was, is it a fact or a myth that you should change the way that you sleep on Tisha B'Av night? So let's take a look. Let's find out. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 10, V'yesh mi shenoheg lishkav b'leil Tisha B'Av muta al ha'aretz u'mesim even tachas rosho. Shulchan Aruch quotes from one of the Rishonim that he had the practice to sleep on the floor on Tisha B'Av night and to place a stone beneath his head. And then the Ramah adds to that, V'yash la'adam lehitzta'er be'inyan mishkavo b'leil Tisha B'Av. So the Ramah says, more in a normative way, meaning the Shulchan Aruch is saying, V'yash mi shenohi. So that's a little bit of a tenuous formulation, right? Meaning, it's clearly a valid minhag. Is it something that we would say that every single person has to do, especially if it's going to cause you a lot of discomfort, and it's going to make the next day very difficult to really tap into the avilos, then probably better not to do. However, the Ramah says, V'yesh la'adam lehitzta'er, this is more of a normative statement, that everybody should try to, add some level of discomfort to their sleep. Inyan mishkavo b'leil Tisha B'Av, shem ragel lishkav b'shnei karim, lo yishkav kiim be'echad. It quotes Tosos that if you normally sleep with two pillows, you should sleep with one. V'yesh b'nei adam esimin even tachas mirash v'seyem, zeicher l'ma shenemar v'yikach me'avnei ha'makom, when Yaakov Avinu takes the stones, Shara'a HaChurban, that part of his nevuah over there was that he saw the Churban, so we commemorate that by placing a stone under the pillow. Mihu Ubro, She'inu Nicholin Stair, Inu Nichayavos Behol Ela, certainly people who are not able to withstand that discomfort are not obligated in this minhag. V'yemayit Adam Mechlodo Me'anoso B'tishuva V'chom Asha Efshar. Again, we treat ourselves as Avelim. We're not. This is not a day of joy and pleasure. Certainly, it's the opposite of that, and we express that in the way that we sleep. So the conclusion is, it's a fact that it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch that it's best to change the way that one sleeps on Tisha B'Av, whether one has to go to the lengths to actually sleep on the floor. Again, if that's something you can handle, I think a lot of us can't really manage that. But certainly to take away one pillow, that's something that would be, that's what the Ramah suggests. Yeah, Ethan.
So it's interesting. The first week, we learned a Talmudic source that suggested that sleeping on the floor was utterly rejected by the Chachamim, or flipping the mattress.
Beautiful.
But here it's suggested that maybe you should do it.
Yeah, so amazing. Amazing. Baruch Hakivanta. So the Gra, in the Bir HaGra, where he tries to find the sources for what the Shulchan Aruch says, he says that the basis for this minon was to be Mekayim, that sheet of the Chuya. That shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Braisa who says to sleep on a mita kfuya, that's what this Rishon was trying to, I forgot who it is, look in the tour, but and the Bisyosi. But that's what he was trying to fulfill. And so again, it's v'yesh mi shenohi because it is a shita dechuya, right? Okay. Yes, Rabbi Mike.
But I heard it was very interesting in a shiur at Young Israel that some people have the custom on Rosh Hashanah night of sleeping in the shul because it's such an awesome day and judgment that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they feel it's better if they could to sleep in the shul.
Yeah.
I just wanted to...
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. There's all the different sleep practices that sometimes accord or correspond with the nature of the day. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now transitioning to the morning of Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah Berurah in source number 11 says, B'shachas mashkimin k'tzas l'bisak neses. We get up early to come to shul. Now, you might wonder if that's the case. So why do we have a later start time to Shachris on Tisha B'Av than we do the rest of the year? Because v'mal yedei zeh yigmru lo markino zman harbe kodem chatzos tov shalo lahashkin kolkach. Because the most important thing, and this is the refrain for the morning of Tisha B'Av, is that we're really supposed to have a one-track mind on the morning of Tisha B'Av. There's supposed to be no hesach hadas from the avelos of Tisha B'Av. It's supposed to be totally and wholly focused on the avelos. A very, very, very... you know, clear-cut, straightforward, black-and-white type of experience. It's supposed to be all avelos and nothing else. And that's why we try to engage in kinos as much as possible until chatzos. And that's pretty, for some shuls, that's hard to hit. And that's why we delayed at the start of davening, both, you know, to give people a little bit more sleep, but also, you know, mostly because we want to keep people in shul as late as possible. So if we know that we're not going to be able to do kinos for 6 hours, we can't start at 6 o'clock. We've got to start at 8 o'clock. No, and then that way we'll do kinos for, you know, 4.5 hours. Okay. Now, of course, we know the famous practice on the morning of Tisha B'Av that what do we not wear?
Leather shoes.
Huh? Leather shoes, for sure, but we don't wear leather shoes the whole day. What do we dafka not wear in the morning of Tisha B'Av? Talis and tefillin. That's right. So let's see, where does this come from? So the truth is that this was a machlokas. Machlokas and Rishonim, whether you should wear tefillin in the morning of Tisha B'Av. Take a look in source number 12 in the Torah. V'chasav Adoni Yavi Harash Zalom Istar B'dechayiv B'tefillin. The Rosh wrote that one should wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Kevan da'avel gufe lo mitzer ela b'yom Rishon. When does an avel refrain from wearing tefillin? Only on the first day, on the Yom Kivura, on the first day of his avelos. D'lo ichmir Tisha B'Av mishesh esamei avelos. But for the rest of the days of Avelos, days 2 through 7, does an Avel wear a tefillin? Yes. So is Tisha B'Av any worse than this days 2 through 7 of Avelos Chadasha, of a death of a relative? Says the Rosh, no. So if an Avel is wearing tefillin days 2 through 7, then the Avel should wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av as well. However, second line at the end, Rambi Rutenberg Kosav, Vinir de Tisha B'Av ein the Haniach tefillin. Maharam says we don't wear tefillin in the morning of Tisha B'Av. Kimo biyom rishon shel avel, like the first day of the avelos. She'ein yomar yoser mimenu yom kivius b'chia ledoros. Very interesting machlukas we have here between the Rosh and the Maharam about how to compare the day of Tisha B'Av to avelos chadasha, right? To astam avelos. The Rosh says we can't compare it to the first day of the loss of a relative. And the Maharam says, no, there's nothing worse than the day of Tisha B'Av, where it was established as a day for perpetuity. But as a day, right, until we have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, a day of Yom Mar and Yom Bechia Lidoros for generations. What could be a worse day than that? So the question is, to what do we compare Tisha B'Av? To day 1 or to days 2 through 7?
But in other words, they're comparing it to being an own day. But the reason... isn't the reason that an Onin doesn't put on...
Because Potter for mitzvos.
Right.
But an Avel on day 1 also doesn't wear tefillin.
Even after
the Kvura. Uh-huh. That's right. Okay, so that's a specific din in Avelos. That on Yom Rishon, an Avel doesn't wear tefillin. Look in the Gemara in Sukkah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, Pe'ercha chavu shalecha. And we learn out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel to wear tefillin, mashma, that everybody else shouldn't wear tefillin. And then there's a diyun about what's the nature of the halacha. Is it because it's a disgrace to the tefillin for the avel to wear it, meaning the avel is not in a proper state to be able to wear the tefillin? Or is it a din in the avelos, that for the avel to put on this glorious object would be a stira to his avelos? Right? So a din in the avelos, a din in the tefillin. But, you know, no matter what it is, certainly an avel on Yom Rishon doesn't wear the tefillin. Okay, so our minog is like the Maharam, that we don't wear the tefillin on the morning of Tisha B'Av. Now, the Rambam paskins actually a compromise that one should wear tefillin shel yad, but not tefillin shel rosh. Why? So, as I just said before, pe'er chachavu shalecha. What's the pe'er of the tefillin? Ah, the noticeable tefillin. The tefillin shel rosh is v'ra'u chol amei ha'aretz kishim Hashem, right? Nikra alecha. That everybody's able to see the tefillin shel rosh. It's a way of displaying the pe'er. So the Rav suggested, you could take a look in Ha'ari Kedem, source number 14, because of the time, I don't want to keep everybody too late, but he says that to outwardly demonstrate this pe'er would be to take away from the Avelos of Tisha B'Av. The whole idea of Avelos of Tisha B'Av, especially since, as we've said in the past, because it's Avelos Yeshana, it's not something that happened to us as an individual, we can't consider ourselves a Gavra Avel. Right? We don't have the status of an Avel in terms of our person. We do expressions of Avelos. We behave like Avelim. But you can't say that intrinsically a person is an Avel on Tisha B'Av. So the whole idea of Tisha B'Av is to act like an Avel. So we're very focused on the outward, on the externals on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, the idea is you can't put something on the outside that's going to be a stira to how you're really supposed to behave. So at the end of the day, halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, source number 15, like the Maharam, that we don't wear tefillin, and we also don't wear a talis. The Rav also asked a very compelling shaila. Why not wear a talis? In Ovil wears a talis, even on day one. Even after the kvura, he's going to wear a talis. He just doesn't wear the tefillin. What's this business with not wearing a talis? So they wanted to explain in the name of the Rav, the seed yesod, that because we're so wrapped up, pardon the pun, with not having a stira on the outside, right? With our externals, how we look, how we're perceived. So to wear this beged chashuv of a talis gadol would appear like a stira to the avelos. And that's why we extend the practice of not wearing tefillin also to not wearing a talis. Now, there's a fascinating halacha l'maisa consequence of the fact that we don't wear a talis on Tisha B'Av morning. We actually mentioned this in one of the Dvar Halachas, not this specific consequence, we mentioned the idea in one of the Dvar Halachas recently when we were talking about tzitzis, that what happens if you took off your talis, you're going to put on your talis katan on Tisha B'Av morning. Right? Let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch 15. Elalov shim talis katan tachas begadav below bracha. Okay. But says the Mishnah Berurah in 17, below bracha, mikol makom impashto balayla, yesh omim shetzarech levarich alav baboker. There's a whole diyun as to if you take off your talis katan before sleep, and then you put it back on, are you chayav in a bracha? Is sleep considered a hefsek for the mitzvah? So, Mishnah Berurah says that according to some, you are obligated to say a bracha when you put the talis katan back on in the morning, and therefore you're getting yourself into a situation where if you take your tzitzis off before you go to sleep and you put them back on in the morning, you're getting yourself into a situation of safek bracha. Some say you should make the bracha v'al mitzvahs tzitzis, others say not to make the bracha. So Reb Shlomo Zalman, to avoid that safek, had the practice in 16 to sleep in his talis katan dafka on the night of Tisha B'Av, to avoid that question as to whether he would have to make a new bracha in the morning when he put it back on. Of Leil Tisha B'Av, Noag Rabbeinu, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Shelo Lifshot HaTalis Katan, Mishum Safek Bracha Bil Vishaso Baboker. Mashmos? Yeah, I don't know, you know, how many of the Hasidish practices Reb Shlomo Zalman follow.
He's also but, a little bit of chronic in some ways.
Okay. Yeah, that's... I guess that's mashmos. Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, when do we put on our tefillin? So we put on the tefillin at mincha. Yeah, no.
Make a bracha on your tzitzis in the morning. You still make the bracha on your talis at mincha?
Yeah.
No matter
what. Right. Because the amitzah tzitzis is not going to cover the talis gadol.
You're starting.
And it's a new begin also. Yeah. Okay. So, when do we put on talis and tefillin? We do so in the afternoon at mincha. So here is our first glimpse of a distinction between the rest of Tisha B'Av and the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, post-chatzos of Tisha B'Av. This is one nafkamina, which is that we start to wear tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivka and Hay in source number 17 says, "Umevarchem aleim, make the bracha on the talis and the tefillin." V'nirad yizaher shelo likra ata parshios kriyishma v'chein parshios kadesh. Right, kadesh lichol bechor. Don't say kriyishma and kadesh lichol bechor. You might think that you should say kriyishma because you're supposed to say kriyishma with talis and tefillin on every day. But says the Mishnah Berurah, don't say kriyishma, and also don't say the parshios of kadesh lichol bechor v'hayak yiviyacha, which we generally say every day because of the mitzvah tefillin. Why the haloka esu rak kori batora? Because if you say those parshios in the afternoon, then you're really just saying them as a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because you already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the morning at Shacharis. So why are you repeating it now? It's just Talmud Torah. V'Talmud Torah Aser Kol Ayom. Tani, you asked this question the first year. Talmud Torah Aser Kol Ayom. Talmud Torah, you can't learn the entire day. There's no difference between Chatzos when it comes to Talmud Torah. So it says in Mishnah Berurah not to say Kriya Shema when you put on Talis and Tefillin. So that's one difference in terms of chatzos. Let's keep track of the differences, keep a list. One of them is going to be that we put on talis and tefillin at chatzos. You would still be yotze. Yeah, still yotze the mitzvah.
So the reason people normally say this is
The most ideal way to say it is to have it on for both Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei. But that doesn't. But the mitzvah d'oraisa certainly is not that you have to wear it at a specific time. You have to wear it every day.
When people say
Kachi Kol Bachar. Oh, that's a minna. That's the first minna. Yeah. Okay. The next difference, which leads us into our next issue, is sitting on the floor. So we know that when Chatzos hits, one can begin to sit on a regular chair. So, where does this all come from to begin with, that we sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av? Was this mentioned in the Gemara? No, we've learned the Brisa and Tainus. Kol mitzvos hanogos ba'avlanogos b'Tisha B'Av. And it doesn't mention sitting on the floor. So where did this come from? So the Torah in source number 18 quotes, Kosav Avio Ezri from the Rav Yoh, Leil Tisha B'Av cholzim min aleim v'olchim l'beis hakneses, v'yoshvin la'aretz ka'velim. The Rav Yoh says that we sit on the floor just as Avelim sit on the floor. One of the dinim of Avelos, as we well know, is that the Avel is prohibited from sitting on a higher chair. And therefore, they sit on the floor or on the lovewood chairs, right? That the Gemachs give out, which are within 3 tvachim of the ground. It's considered like you're sitting on the floor. So we have the same practice that Rav Yoh writes on Tisha B'Av, but it's betoras minhag. It's not me'ikr hadin. It's not something that's mentioned in the Gemara. It's Betoras Minog that we sit on the floor. So 19, the Beis Yosef says, he quotes from the Agos Maimonides, who quotes from the Maharam, Lachin Yer LeMaharam, end of the first line, Minog Tzorfatim, She'en Yoshvim, Agabi Safsalim, Ad Filas HaMincha. You don't sit on benches until Mincha. Dumya Da'ovel, She'yoshiv Agabi Karka, Kol Shevas Yemei Evlo. So the Minog became that we sit on the ground for Tisha B'Av, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that that's the case both on the night and of the morning of Tisha B'Av. Veil Tisha B'Av v'yomo, v'yomo yosh v'yisaknes l'arz ad filas mincha. And then the Rama writes, v'achshav no'agu leishiv al savsalim, yad achar shiot v'yisaknes l'shachris, v'ma'arichin ima kinos ha'ma'a kodem chatzos. So after you finish kinos, so then you can sit on a higher chair after chatzos.
Is it an issue
standing
up during kinos?
So I guess that would go back to the Rav Moshe Sternbach point from before, where he said that you should dafka sit on the floor like an ovel for Eicha, maybe he would say the same thing by Kinos. But again, if it's you can't focus because it's hurting you, whatever, so better to stand. Okay. Now, can you use anything to lighten the pain of sitting on the floor? So Mishnah Berurah in source number 21 says, "Va'im ba'achronim demuter lehaniach tacht of sak ukar katan." You can put a pillow beneath you. V'gam yuchal leishiv al safsal namuch l'misha kasha lo leishiv al ha'aretz. You can sit on a low bench for someone who's not able to sit on the ground. Do we apply the same idea that we apply to avilos chadasha, avilos of a yachid, that Shadaf could be within 3 tfachim of the ground? Do we apply that shear on Tisha B'Av? You have to measure how low your chair is. So some say yes. It seems to be that some have that practice. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman, as well as the Chazon Ish, were not so makpid about the chair being exactly less than three tvachim. Look at source number 23. V'horu Rabbeinu she'in tzarech ledakdek b'safsalim ha'nemuchim she'agovam pachos migimel tvachim. You don't have to be so careful that they're less than three tvachim. V'lo kos v'kina poskim. Ela ha'ikr she'yehi namuch min haragil. The primary idea is that the chair be lower than normal. That's what we're really looking for. If you want to you want to keep that practice, it should be less than three tvachim. So, you know, matov manoim, tavo alecha bracha. But the ikar hadin is that it should be less than normal. And the Rav, the Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav, source number 24, Nefesh HaRav, that even for Avelos, Harishim is barmi divrei agamar, she is so dina di yeshiva agabi kise, hu she yase eze shinoi, leishiv agabi dover, sheinu rogel leishiv alav. The way that the Rav viewed the halacha, that you have to sit differently during Avelos, is that you should change up the manner in which you sit. Shouldn't be the normal way in which you sit. But lav dafka, that it has to be on the ground. Okay, so again, so the ikar hadin in terms of the chairs is that yes, you can put something underneath you. You don't have to sit directly on the floor. And also that me'ikar hadin, it doesn't have to be within three tvachim of the ground, but should be noticeably lower than a regular chair. Okay, so if we're keeping track of the list of the differences between morning and afternoon, so far we have talis and tefillin, and we also have the chairs. So let's get into the others. Source number 25, we know that we say nachim at mincha. So b'tisha b'av omer b'vona yushalayim nachim Hashem Elokeinu es haveli tzion b'chulei. And in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't mention that you do it only at mincha. Sfarim say it at shachris though? Yeah, okay. So the Ramah, however, says that the Ashkenazim say it only at Mincha. Okay, so that's a third item on the list, that we say Ashkenazim say Nachim only at Mincha. Fourth item on the list, source number 26, is that you start saying Kaddish Tiskabel only at Mincha, but you don't say Kaddish, you don't say Tiskabel at Mariv nor at Shachris. Source number 27, number 5, if I'm counting correctly, I may have lost count. But we already mentioned this in a previous year. There is a difference in terms of the Isur Malacha when it comes to Chatzos. We said that in the morning, we shouldn't do anything that has any type of delay. Because again, remember our refrain, there's a one-track mind in the morning. We're only thinking about Avelos. Any type of Malacha that could even compromise it one iota, we're not going to do. However, in the afternoon, V'noagul Achmir ad Chatzos b'chol Malacha she'esh b'shiyuk tzas, filo ma'isa hedyot, ad Chatzos, that is. Past Chatzos, you could do a malacha that is not overly involved. And also in source number 28, so the Shulchan Aruch says you can start preparing for the Suda, for the breakfast, after Chatzos, but one should not do so prior to Chatzos. So we have a whole slew of practices that change at Chatzos. And of course, this begs the question, where else do we find this? That you have certain dinim that apply until Chatzos on a certain day, but then once Chatzos hits, what's the svara for that? So I wanna share a couple of svaros, and also a yesod in terms of what changes to be able to remember really what changes, and then to wrap up with an idea that I've developed in the past I find very inspiring. Okay, so the first reason, and this is really the main reason that's quoted, comes from the Gra, it's quoted in the Mishnah Brura, as to why things change at Chatzos, is because Lefi Sha'az hi tisu b'mikdash esh v'lachin mispalalin oz ala nechal. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually started destroying the Beis HaMikdash at Chatzos. That's when the Beis HaMikdash was set ablaze. Before that, it was obviously infiltrated and conquered, but it wasn't actually burnt. And the burning happens at Chatzos. And once the burning happens, so then we go to the next stage, right? So the Avelos is like as we're losing the Mikdash, when the Mikdash is burnt, that's when we go to the next stage. The Ritva, in source number 30, describes this as the difference between Aninos and Avelos. He says that up until Mincha is Aninos. It's like an owning. It just happened. You just lost the Beis HaMikdash. At Mincha, at Chatzos, when the Beis HaMikdash is now burnt, so now it's more of a reflective stage. You become now an Avel instead of the Oni. That's the Ritva. And again, the Gra quoted in the Mishnah Brura, and that's the main reason why things change at Chatzos. What is the common denominator between all of the things that we put on the list that change at Chatzos? They are all betoras minhag. The only things that change at Chatzos are minhagim that we have that apply to the rest of Tisha B'Av, and because at Chatzos we're introduced to a new stage of Nechama, so we lighten the minhag a little bit. But anything that's me'ikr hadin, anything that is mentioned in the Gemara, doesn't change at Chatzos. So none of the inuyim that we spoke about last week change at Chatzos. It's all the same. None of the mourning practices that are mentioned in the Gemara that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, none of them change at Chatzos. So that's why Talmud Torah does not change at Chatzos. That's why there's no difference in terms of Sicha and Rechitza and Tashmish Shamita, all or Ni'ilas HaSandal. It all applies throughout the entire day. These things that we've mentioned are all minhagim, every single one. Kadesh Tiskabel, minhag. Talis and Tefillin, minhag based on the Maharam Rutenberg. We saw not everybody agrees with that. What else did we have? Malacha, minhag. Shela Shalom is Maker Adin. It applies the whole day. It doesn't change at Chatzos. Yeah. Okay, so that's why I'm giving you this yesod so you can remember what changes. It's all only the things that are Betoras Minhag, not the things that are Me'ikr Hadin. Sitting on chairs, Minhag, therefore changes at Chatzos. Okay? Good. Now I want to wrap up with one idea about this concept that we have a stage that is interwoven, it's integrated into Tisha B'Av. A stage of nechama, of comfort, where we start to lighten the minhagim a little bit. And why is it so significant that we have a stage of nechama that's woven into the fabric of Tisha B'Av? So I want to explain this based on a couple questions on the tefillah of Nachim. Tefillah of Nachim that Ashkenazim say in Mincha, in Bonei Yerushalayim. Take a look at source number 29. Take a look with me. We're going to ask three questions, okay? The Yerushalmi is a source for the Tefillah of Nachim, and it says like this: Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Yitzchak b'Shem Rabbi Chiya de Tzipori. Yochid b'Tisha B'Av tzarech lahazker me'ina me'ora. On Tisha B'Av, you have to say a Tefillah that is of the essence of the day. Mahu Omer, what does he say? Rachim Hashem Elokeinu b'rachamecha harabim. Rachim, not Nachim. Those are two different words. Rachim is Hashem should have compassion and mercy. Nachim is Hashem should provide us with comfort. Those are two different things. Next, Ba'ikumi Rabbi Mana Echan Omra. Where do we say this tefillah? Amar Levi Adayin in Adzu. Do you not know this yet? Kol Davar Shuhu Leba. Anything that's happening in the future, Omra Ba'avoda. You say it in Ritzei. V'Kol Davar Shuhu LeShavar Omra BeHoda. Anything that's in the past, you say in Modi. So the question is: do you look at this? Right. So we're praying for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. We're also asking for comfort for what happened in the past. So you could say that it belongs in Ritzei. You could say it belongs in Modin. What's not mentioned in the Yerushalmi? Bonei Yerushalayim, which is where we actually say it. So there are three things, there are three aspects to our contemporary practice of Nachim that fly in the face of the source for Nachim in the Yerushalmi. Number one, the text doesn't match up. Yerushalmi says Rachim, we say Nachim. Number two, at least according to Ashkenazim, the Yerushalmi doesn't limit when you say Nachim or Rachim. It's Me'in HaMe'ora. It's of the essence of the day. Anybody ever hear you only say Ya'al V'Yavo at Mincha? No, you say Ya'al V'Yavo at Ma'ariv. You say it at Shachris. You say it at Mincha. You say it all the tefillos of the day. Why are we saying, and the Yerushalmi doesn't limit it to Mincha? So why are we limiting Nachim to Mincha? Question number two. Question number three, as I said before, we have two nice choices, Ritzei or Modin. Nope, neither one's good enough. Bonei Yerushalayim. What's going on here? So I don't have time to develop the whole thing. I wrote up a piece once. I'm happy to share with anybody who would like. But based on a beautiful idea of Rav Soloveitchik, source number 31, quoting from one of his essays, the Rav develops the idea that nechama, comfort, is an integral part of the mourning process. Nichum Avelin, when we do Nichum Avelin, we're not only trying to ease the distress, the pain, the agony of the Avel. It's actually a kiyum. It's an integral fulfillment in the process of the Avilus. Nichum Avilim needs to happen in order for the Avilus to be a full Avilus. Why? Because as the Rav says so beautifully, if there's a mourner and people don't give him words of comfort and solace, then the process of mourning is not complete. Meaning, within every process of mourning is also the recognition that no matter how difficult and no matter how agonizing the mourning is, there's always a glimpse of optimism that lies beneath. There's always a glimmer of hope. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instilling with us the idea, the recognition and the understanding that even on this day, as the Maharam says, there's no day that's worse than this. A Yom Bechi, that's Kavua Ledoros. How much we're missing. But still, it's critical that as part of our experience of that day, we also have the beginnings of Nechama. And the truth is that the entire process of Avilos is, you know, hinted with Nechama. We have the Shiva de Nechemda right after Tisha B'Av, right? The Nechama keeps increasing in terms of its quantity and in terms of its power. But in Tisha B'Av itself, we already have to begin that process of Nechama. And not to jumpstart, we don't have the Nechama earlier on in the day, right? Early, at night and in the morning, it's all Avilos. You can't go straight to the Nechama. You can't go straight to the optimism and the hope. That would be to invalidate the Avilos and also to belittle it. If you say, I always love it, right? Kol da'avir rachmano l'tav avir. Anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the good. So that's true. But the second that something bad, terrible, a tragedy happens to you, you just say, kol da'avir rachmano l'tav avir. So you're not tapping in. You're not experiencing what the tragedy was, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you at that moment. Kol da'avir rachmano l'tav avir is a reflective type of idea. It's a concept that's incumbent upon us in the long term to be able to see the bigger picture, that despite how painful whatever I'm experiencing right now is, there's also that glimmer of hope. But not that within the tragedy that you're jumping steps. You can't jump stages. So first you have the night and you have the morning where it's kol kulo avelus. But within the larger fabric of Tisha B'Av, you also have that nechama in the afternoon. And perhaps that explains all of the apparent inconsistencies in our practice of nachim. Number one, we change it from rachim to nachim. Because we're not focused only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion and rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We change it to Nachim in order to emphasize that this is part of our experience of the day. It's part of the process of Avelos, is also to tap into that Nechama. Point number one. Point number two, we put it into Bonei Yerushalayim. Again, because it's part of the Avelos. It's part of the process. It's part of our thinking and reflecting on Yerushalayim that we also have to have that Nechama. And then according to the Ashkenazim, we only say it at Mincha. Because that's the perfect time to say it. Because al pi minhag, mincha became the time when that nechama starts to brew. That's when the minhagim take a little bit of a lighter note. Because that's the shas nechama, as we saw from the Gra, as we saw from the Ritva. And that's why we say nachim, Ashkenazim, only at mincha. In order to convey that this, now we've reached the stage where we're able to, you know, be a little bit more reflective and hang on, even within the Avelus, but still have that glimmer of hope, that optimism, then not all is lost, that we will continue in the Shiva, the Nechemta, that follow Tisha B'Av. Okay, Shukrach, everybody. Yeah.